With the start of a new semester, we're not going to start a new series today. Instead, we're going to do what is called a Wake Sidebar. And that is basically the opportunity where I get to come on stage and I'm just going to share with you guys what God has put on my heart over the last year. And there's a lot of things that I could talk about as far as what I've been learning in 2020. But there's a few things that just God's put on my heart about Jesus. And so that's why, you know, if you're a writer and you take notes, the title of this is Jesus Is. And we're going to cover a few different things about him. And because, guys, to be honest, like, God has been really, really kind to me in a lot of ways that you probably wouldn't think were kind. You know, sometimes that's the great thing about God, is in ways that we think maybe something isn't going very well, God has a totally different thing in mind, and he's just revealing himself more and more to us. And so it really is like a joy to me to get to share with you what God has put on my heart. So why don't you guys bow your heads and pray with me. Father, thank you for today. God, thank you for January 3rd for 2021. Lord, that you woke us up this morning for a new day. A new day to experience you more, to share you with other people more, Father, and ultimately to just be here this morning and hear from you. Father, I pray that you would be present in this room. Lord, I know I'm thankful for the way that you've just been in my life in this last year. And Father, I pray that we all would just have just an opportunity to take a moment and give thanks, Lord, to recognize the hard times we experienced, the good times of 2020, Lord, and ultimately be able to see you all throughout. Father, thank you that you are with us and near us. Father, I pray that you would just work on the hearts, on our hearts this morning, Lord, that it would be your words, not my own. It's your name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, I want you all to start by closing your eyes. And actually close your eyes. I know sometimes we don't want to do it. Close your eyes. Imagine yourself in the ocean, okay? But you're not at the beach. You're in the deep, deep ocean. You're swimming in the water, and then a storm has come. Okay, so the waves are getting more and more aggressive. And you're trying to swim. You're trying to stay above water, but it's hard because the second you think you're afloat, there's another wave that comes. The second you think you're afloat again, another wave comes. And you're swimming in that ocean, and it's just hard. I don't know if you're going to make it. And then suddenly you see something out in the distance. And it's a man on a boat. And he's coming up to you, and he's holding a life preserver. And you're like, finally, yes, I can be saved. A life preserver, someone here to help me. Thank goodness, I'm in the midst of drowning. I'm near death. I can be saved. But you shout back, no way. Not me. This is hard enough, drowning here in these stormy waters. The last thing I need is an added burden of a life preserver around my body. You can open your eyes. Guys, that's what a lot of my life has looked like. Confessing Christ with my lips, saying that I believe in him, saying that I trust him, but generally avoiding deep fellowship with him. Rejecting his immediate help. Rejecting his nearness to me. Thinking that I need to do my life on my own. Just drowning in the waters, not taking the one thing that can save me. And I imagine that some of you guys, if not most of you, have found yourself in the same boat at some point in your life. You might feel like you're drowning. Maybe school is super overwhelming. It's hard to keep up with my classes. I can't keep my grades up. Maybe there's too many things going on after school. You've got sports. You've got band. You have, you know, anything else that you're attending. There's too many things going on. I can't get everything done. Or maybe I'm having a fight with a friend. And because I'm having a fight with this friend, it's affecting my friendship with these friends. Or it could be anything. At some point, you might have found yourself drowning, barely being able to stay afloat, especially in a year like 2020. But you know what? You could take COVID away. And 2020 was arguably one of the most challenging and growing years of my 25 years on earth. It's in this year that God changed my perspective on Jesus. You see, for most of my life, Jesus has been the hardest person to relate to. I've seen God as this distant God. Maybe when I'm praying, it feels like I'm just praying to nothing, or I'm just talking to open space or to the wall. And I just don't understand that, well, if Jesus was this man, who was fully man, fully God, that came here and I can relate to him. I just have always had a hard time doing that. And that's because I had a wrong understanding of who Jesus is. But it is in God's grace that this year he has given me many of different reasons to realize that I can trust Jesus. Not only trust him, but have a relationship with him. To stop drowning in the water and to accept the life preserver that he's ready to throw to me. And so there's three traits that I'm going to go over today that Jesus is. And for me, it's transformed my faith. It's transformed my relationship with the Lord. And I hope and pray that it would do the same for you guys. And so the first one is this, that Jesus is approachable. Okay? This was a really, really hard thing for me to grasp. You know, because I'm a sinful man, right? The scripture says that we were born sinners. So if we are sinful and broken, how could we approach Jesus, a perfect, holy God? There's a few verses that I want to go through that are going to help us understand this. So first, let's go to Matthew 11, 28 and 29. It says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You see, the minimum bar that you must attain in order to approach Jesus is really quite simple. Open yourself up to him. That's all he needs. Verse 28 of this passage makes it very clear who qualifies for fellowship with Jesus. It says, all who labor and are heavy laden. And all that means is those who are weary, those who are tired, those who have heavy burdens, those who work. What it means is everyone. Everyone. You see, so often, I myself think that in order to approach Jesus, it comes down to something I have to do. Right? I have to do something in order to approach Jesus. I have to accomplish this many things. I have to check off this many, you know, rules or tasks I see in the Bible. I have to put on a mask in order to approach Jesus, in order to be embraced by Jesus. But he makes it abundantly clear that if we trust what he did for us on the cross, then there is nothing we need to do. Guys, Jesus is a gift. The salvation we have in him is a gift. It isn't a transaction. But how? The question still sits there, like, how can we approach Jesus? Right? We're sinners. We're broken. Jesus is holy and perfect. Guys, where there is holiness, there can't be sin. So how can we approach him? Well, turn with me to Psalm 103, verses 8 through 10. It says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve." All the way up until now, 25 years, I have always used God's holiness as the reason that I couldn't approach him. This is the lie that I often believe, that because of my sinfulness, I can't approach Jesus. That I need to clean myself up, get my life together, and maybe then, just maybe, could I approach him. I've always thought that because God is who he says he is, because of his goodness, I can't go to him. You see, deep down, guys, when I read this text, here's what I actually expect the text to say. This is the lie that I believe, that he will constantly accuse us and remain angry forever. That he does punish us for all our sins. He does deal harshly with us as we deserve. That's not what it says. That is not what scripture says. Scripture very clearly says something totally different. It says he will not constantly accuse us, nor will he remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. In fact, it even goes on to say in verses 11 and 12, for his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. That he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. If you can't figure it out, that literally means opposite directions, infinity, infinity. It's just a circle around the earth. Think of it that way. East is from the west. Our sins are removed from us. The reality is that the Bible says that when God looks at his people's sinfulness, it is his holiness that makes him and allows him to show mercy to his people. And that is one of the coolest things that I have learned about Jesus this year. That instead of his holiness keeping me from approaching him, it is indeed his holiness that allows me to approach him. That the sins of those who belong to God, my sins, your sins, open the floodgates of his heart of compassion for you, for me. It is not my loveliness that wins his love. It is my unloveliness. My unloveliness matched with his great mercy. Jesus is approachable. And not only that, but Jesus is unwavering. What that means is basically we can't move him. He perseveres. Okay, he's unwavering. Turn with me to John chapter 6, verses 35 through 37. These are Jesus' words here. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. There's a lot to unpack in these set of verses here, but I want to focus on just the last sentence. The last sentence that says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. See, all those who come to Christ, you and me alike, are often afraid that Jesus won't receive us. Right? I often think to myself, yeah, but, you know, I hear all these good things about Jesus, but I don't know. I don't think he's going to forgive this thing that I did. Or I don't know that he's going to look past what I said to my mom. Or I don't think he's going to look past the way I treated that person. Or I don't think he's going to look past any sin in my life. You name it. We sit there and believe that we don't think he'll forgive us. That we don't think he'll receive us. And this is implied in this text. Because notice the largeness and the openness of this promise right here. It says, I will never cast out. Never. Never cast out. You see, Jesus is acknowledging our tendency to be afraid. Our tendency to doubt. Our tendency to battle unbelief. And we fear being casted out. We fear being rejected. And that's why Jesus says these words here, to get rid of that fear. That's why he says this word, never, because it cuts the throat of all objections of coming sinners. Any objection, any excuse. Let me demonstrate it this way. Imagine this kind of conversation. You know, because it's for sure a conversation I've had with Jesus often in my life, and it might be one you've had too. You might approach Jesus, you say, no way. You don't understand. I've really messed up in all kinds of ways. And Jesus says, I know. No, you know most of it, but certainly more than others see. But there's worse things down inside of me. There's worse things that I hide from everyone. I know it all, Jesus says. But it's not just my past. See, it's not just the things I've done, but it's my present right now. I understand. But I don't know if I can break free of it anytime soon. I don't know if I can be better. I don't know if I can stop sinning. That's the only kind of person I'm here to help. But the burden is heavy, Jesus. It's heavier all the time. Every day it gets heavier and heavier. Then let me carry it. To which will constantly respond saying, no, it's too much to bear. And Jesus says, not for me. And often we want to fight. We want to fight. We want to continue in that conversation. Say, you don't get it. You just don't understand, Jesus. You don't realize what I'm going through. You don't understand the challenges I've been facing. My sins aren't directed towards others. They're directed towards you. My sins are against you, Jesus. And all he says is that I am the one who is most equipped to forgive them. To which point, it's still not enough. We still think that he's not enough to save us. That the more of the ugliness in me that he discovers, the more sin he discovers, the sooner he'll get fed up with me. And that's when Jesus says this promise, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Never. Case closed. That's it. We can't present a reason for Christ to finally close off his heart to us. No matter how hard we try, no matter all the excuses we come up with, Jesus is unwavering. Never changing. He will always forgive your sins. Raise your objections. Raise your arguments. Give your reasons. None of them can threaten his invincible words. The invincible words of, I will never cast out. If you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, the man, the fully man, fully God who came to die on the cross and be raised to life 3 days later to defeat sin, to forgive you from your sins, to set you free, you have a new permanent residence with him. You're not renting space in his heart. You are a child of God. Jesus is unwavering. And finally, another trait that I learned about Jesus this year is that Jesus is gentle. Jesus is gentle. And it comes from a few verses in Hebrews. So if you will, turn with me to Hebrews 4. Verses 15 and 16, it says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help him in the time of need, to help in the time of need. And it continues on in chapter 5, verse 2. Talking the same subject, talking about Jesus, that Jesus can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward since he himself is beset with weakness. I so often find myself thinking that Jesus is going to be upset with me. That when I do something wrong, Jesus is waiting like a judge behind a podium, ready to convict me and send me to jail. Right? That he will be angry when I come to him. That he'll be upset and disappointed when I confess. But this text makes it clear. It says that Jesus is gentle. See, Jesus, he doesn't throw his hands up in the air when you come to him and confess your sin. He's calm. He's tender. He's comforting and he's restrained. He deals with us gently. And with whom does he deal gently? It's simple, guys. Everyone. All sinners who come to him. You see, in the context of this letter, it uses the words ignorant and wayward. Ignorant is to imply accidental sins. And wayward implies deliberate sin. In other words, basically doing something that you know is wrong and still doing it. Sinning when you know it's sin and still doing it. In other words, the point is that Jesus deals gently and only gently with all sinners who come to him, regardless of their sin. And what prompts this from Jesus is not the seriousness of sin. It's not the severity of sin, but whether or not the sinner comes to him. Whether or not you go to Jesus, whether or not you realize that you cannot do it on your own. That when you realize you need a Savior, every single person in this room. Every single person on this earth needs a Savior. And when we acknowledge that and go to Jesus, He deals with us gently. And I have to remind myself of that every single day. And so I'll remind you again that you do not need to be well before Christ. You do not need to have it all together. I'm going to say it again because for me it was the hardest thing to accept. I always thought that I had to get it together. That I had to present myself well before Christ in order to have a relationship with Him. And that is not true. You do not need to have it all together. In fact, Jesus came because you cannot have it all together. Jesus came because you are broken. You're a sinner and you need to be saved from yourself. In fact, the beauty of God is this, that as you follow Christ, the deeper you press into your sinfulness, the deeper into Jesus you will go. You see, our weaknesses don't pull us away from Christ, but rather they bring us closer as long as we go to Him. The deeper we go into our sinfulness, we don't go further from Christ. We go deeper into Him. Guys, 2020 was tough. If you're like me, that's spelled T-U-F-F because it was tough. And you know what? 2021's probably going to bring some challenges as well. There's going to be some good memories made in 2021, and there's going to be a lot of maybe hard experiences in 2021 as well. But I can tell you this much, that as you depend on Jesus, He will be with you. He'll be with you. And not only that, but He'll be approachable. He'll be unwavering, and He will be gentle. So let me leave you with this illustration. A compassionate doctor has traveled deep into the jungle, and he's there to provide medical care to a primitive tribe, a tribe that doesn't have much. They're afflicted with this contagious disease. He has all of his medical equipment. It's flown in, and he has correctly diagnosed the problem. He knows what's wrong with them, and the antibiotics are prepared, and they're available. He has them all flown in. He's independently wealthy. And he has no need of any kind of financial compensation. He's not asking for anyone to pay him. He flew in. He has the cure. He's ready to provide it for free. But as he seeks to provide that care, the sick, the afflicted, they refuse. They want to take care of themselves. So they want to heal on their own terms. Until finally, a few brave young men step forward to receive the care being freely provided. And what does the doctor feel? Do you think the doctor's upset? He's upset that someone has accepted the cure that he has provided them? No, the doctor feels joy. He feels joy. His joy increases to the degree that the sick come to him for help and for healing. Because it's the whole reason he came to them. It's the whole reason he is there with those people. How much more if the diseased are not strangers, but his own family? And so it is with us, and so it is with Christ. This is the gospel. We're sick. We're broken. We need healing. We need a Savior. We can't find the cure. We try all these different melodies. We try to figure it out on our own terms, and nothing works. And so was born Emmanuel. So was born Jesus. Just as we just celebrated this Christmas, that Jesus was born. And you know what? He wasn't only born, but He has your cure. He has your cure. And so as we approach the new year, guys, as we approach 2021, the question is this. Jesus has your cure, and he'll give it to you every single day, every single day. And you can be saved from yourself. The only question is, will you go to him? Will you go to Jesus? Pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for 2020. God, thank you for the way that you are always present in our lives. Father, thank you for that when we think you are so, so far away from us, you are actually so, so near to us. Father, we can go to you when we need help. We can go to you when things are well. We can go to you when things are bad, that you will always be with us, ready for us to come to you, and you will embrace us with open arms. God, my heart needs that truth every day. Every day, I need you to remind me of that truth, to remind me that I have fellowship with you because of what your son did on the cross for me, for us, that I can go to you. Father, give us the courage and boldness to accept that truth, to accept the gift that your son is, to realize that we can go to you no matter what we've done. No matter what mistake we've made, no matter what words we've said, no matter what sin we've committed, God, we can go to you and you will embrace us. God, thank you for that truth today. Father, I pray that it would be on our hearts today and throughout all of 2021, that we wouldn't forget that you are with us. Lord, we pray all of this in your holy, precious name. Amen.